happy in the Lord. I am rejoicing in the opportunity to preach His Word. I love my family, my church family. I'd almost like to just talk to the guys, but I guess, fellas, sometimes when you just know your own weaknesses, there's just a battle to try to be the... the man that you know God wants you to be, that your children and your wife need you to be. And you know that, well, I sure have failed in a lot of areas. I'm thankful for grace and the ability to serve, and I look back at my dad's own life. It's interesting, when you're a kid, at least for me, my dad was the strongest man in town. He was the most intelligent, and he was like that superhero. Then as you get older, you realize Dad's a whole lot more human than what you thought he was as a kid. I'm glad I surrendered my life to the Lord as a teenager. It allowed me to accept that and certainly the greatest thrill in my life outside of my own salvation was my dad's salvation. I'm not making less of my mother's salvation. She had trusted Christ about the same time I did. But it sure was a blessing at the age of 21 to get a letter in the mail, of all things, and Dad telling me how a truck driver had led him to the Lord. Let's go ahead and stand, and I will do my best to read through this. I really just want to please the Lord. Give me just a second here. All right. Be sure not to wipe my face with that side of the hanky. Verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. By the way, he is coming. Amen. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. It's a powerful text. And as I consider the whole Bible collectively, and I consider that text, I don't recall the command of the mothers turning their hearts to the children and the children turning their hearts to the mothers, probably because it comes more natural, maybe. Not that that is not God's will. It is certainly God's will. Let's pray, and I'll let you be seated. I'll start preaching while you're standing. Father, we pray that you bless the message. Help me to speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I certainly applaud all of those single moms out there who are raising their children without a husband or a dad. I admire them, their courage and their strength. And it appears that even the world makes it a point to make big of the moms, and that's good. But what I find absent is the world making big of the dads. They are demasculinizing the men. At best, on any type of TV show, it's husband and wife, and the man is effeminate, and the woman is the masculine leader of the home. And there is an agenda out there to confuse people, because outside of the Word of God, it's confusion. When we neglect the counsel and instruction of the Word of God for the home, you will have confusion and chaos. You don't hear, and maybe I've just not put my ear to the media the way I ought to, but you don't hear the applause and the praise for the dads the way you do for the moms. And again, this is not de-emphasizing moms as they are worthy of it. But what about the dads? In our passage that we read here, God is absolutely concerned about the father's relationship to the children and the children's relationship to the father, about the father's heart for the children and the children's heart for the father. And it appears, according to the text, God tells us that when the hearts of the children are turned from the dads and the hearts of the dads are turned from their children, that opens the door for a curse, a plague, a scourge. A scourge of the home is when the father's heart is turned from the children. A scourge of the home is when the children's heart is turned from the father. How do we remove the curse? I'm not a pessimist, not at all. I've read the back of the book and I know we win. I know Christ is returning, and I know I'm on the winning side. But I do live in America. I do live in a country that has drastically changed from her beginnings. I do live in a country who, in a sense, is a little like the Church of Laodicea. But in all reality, worse. The Church of Laodicea thought they were right with God, and at least, as far as we know, did not promote the evil. Maybe they did. But we're in a country that has not just rejected God, I'm talking as a country, but they have commended evil behavior. What can we do? We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. And so, in each individual Christian, our responsibility is brighten the corner where we are, to be salty and to be light. And the only way that is possible is through the Lord Jesus Christ working in our hearts and through our lives as we submit ourselves to Him. The best thing I can do is submit myself to His presence and allow Him to work on my heart on a regular basis. Is it uncomfortable sometimes what He digs up and reveals in my face? Yes, it is. And all it does is make me more mindful of how much I need Him. How much I need His mercy. How much I need His grace. How much I need His strength. If I'm going to be the husband and the dad and the man He wants me to be. I find I'm not alone as I read men of the Word of God. Well, what can we do? As I look at this text, what can we do to remove this curse? I want to speak to the three elements of the family. I want to speak to the children. I want to speak to the moms. And I'm going to speak to the dads, and so here we go. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, a very familiar verse. I used to quote it to my girls often. Of course, all good parents know this verse. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But sometimes with tongue in cheek, we would say that while we ourselves were not exactly right with God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I'll go ahead and read the text here. It's in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. I'm not going to spend a lot of time there, but I want to make emphasis of this fact. It doesn't matter if your dad or mom knows the Lord. You're to honor them and obey them. If you're in their home, you're under their rules. They pay your bills. They feed you. They clothe you. They've taken care of you. And if you are old enough to care for yourself, they help you get to that point. And regardless of mom and dad's behavior, if you want to be right with the Lord, you better be right with your mom and dad. I know we'd love to throw things up in their face, but the fact is God wants children that are living in the home to honor and obey mom. And listen, there's a difference between the honor and obey. You can obey without honoring. Child, I want you to go clean your room. Oh! Well, you may be obeying, but you're not honoring. Child, I want you to clean your room. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, I will. I'll get right to it. I'm going to be back in a few hours. I sure will. I'll do it. And you show that honor. And 3 hours later, after they get home and after you finally won your video game, did you get your room cleaned? Oh, I forgot. And so in both senses, you can disrespect and dishonor your parents. But wait a minute, if you're concerned about your relationship with God, you've just fouled up. You've wronged not just your parents, but the Lord. And of course, one of the signs of the end times is the rebellion in the home. And the disrespect and dishonoring of parents or children toward parents. Children, honor your parents. You want to help remove the curse. Do you realize you can make a difference in your parents' lives? My dad didn't come to know the Lord until he was about 41. I love my dad. I've got great memories with my dad. There are some things my dad did that, yes, irritated the fire out of me. When I got right with God, God put in my heart to see my dad saved. I could not live with the thought that my dad could die and go to hell and burn forever and ever. I couldn't live with that in my heart. I took a picture out. Brother John, if you remember Baptist City, I was in one of the dorms over there. And I would go to an empty dorm and I'd lay that picture of my dad out and I'd pray. And I'd cry. And I said, God, you can't let my dad go to hell. You got to do something. And I did all I could. I wrote him a letter. I sent him a Bible and I marked all the salvation verses and I tabbed the Bible and I in the letter I said, Dad, follow these numbers and read these verses and just believe this and do it for my sake. Before he got the Bible, the Lord saved him. I believe the Lord wanted me to know I can do it. God brought my dad to the... Oh, he sent him through the washing machine. But he put him in a position where he was ready to receive. And when Dad sent me that letter, I was so happy. You might say, my dad's not living right. Well, why don't you help make that possible? What about you? Are you living right? You say, well, he knows the Lord, he's not living right. Well, are you praying for him? Are you helping him in his walk? Or are you using his life to justify your disobedience? Children, honor your parents. Number two, I can't spend a lot of time on these first two because I'm going to talk to dads for the majority of this. Number two, moms, respect your children's dad. Respect your children's dad, even if you're not married anymore. I know the society we're in, and I'm aware of the body of believers we have in this room. The best thing you can do for your child, though, is respect that child's dad. Don't critique him. Don't constantly slander him. Don't make fun of him. Don't mock him. You are teaching your child to think less of their father than what God wants them to think of their father. You are marring their thinking about their dad. And sometimes I realize moms, especially if the dad is not living at home, if it is a divorce situation, it can be naturally easy to be critical. And yes, there might be some obvious wrong, but for your child's sake, don't be the critic. Let God take care of that. And then certainly if dad is at home, you're still married, respect your husband. Respect him. You know, Ephesians chapter 5, we're there. Look at verse 33. It says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Moms, you want to help your children live right? Show them you love their daddy and you respect their daddy. Yes, you know his weaknesses, but make big of his strengths. Hey, let him make mistakes. If he's lost while he's taking you on vacation, enjoy the ride. It's his way of just showing you a little more of the country. He wants to do a little sightseeing, a little more family time. Respect your children's dad. Man, we're in a society now, and I mentioned this in Sunday school a few weeks back, and I need to reemphasize this. It has gotten to the point in even the Christian home where children, they'll go to dad and say, Dad, can I do this? And dad, he knows there's no sense me answering because whatever I say, mom's going to say something different. Or she's going to question me. Sure, stay out late. No, come home at this time. And then mom's going to say, what are you doing? And so what happens now is here's the typical dad answer. Go see your mom. But what breeds that? Now I realize, man, you better buck up. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes the constant contention, he finally just says, go ahead. Make all the decisions. Make all the decisions. Man, let your man make some mistakes, but let him be the man. Now, fellas, I've not got to you yet. I'm going to get to you strong and swift. But I got to tell you, moms, There's so much you can do in helping your children have a heart for their father. You married him. Don't start turning on him now. There was a time he won your heart. You might say, yeah, but I wasn't living for the Lord. It's God's will. Too late, that's God's will for your life. You say, well, I think there's a better one. There won't be no better one. You jump ship, I'm telling you what, you're going to have more problems. Heard one person say, well, the grass is greener on the other side. You got to mow it too. Respect your children's dad. So children, honor your parents. We're talking about removing the curse. We're talking about getting to the place in our lives, and hopefully in the country. We can't help the country if we're not doing what God wants us to do. Where our hearts are turned toward our children, and their hearts are turned toward us. And so what can make this happen? Well, children, do what you can. Moms, do what you can. And dads, here we go. How can I make this happen as a dad? Be honorable. Be honorable. It's hard to respect something that's not respectful. Present administration in the U.S. of A. It's just hard. You respect the office, though. Dads, be honorable. And I hate to keep using political illustrations, but some of you just flat out love them. We must say hats off to George Bush after 9/11. He didn't play patty cake with terrorists. And he earned a country's respect. How quick we forgot that. Boy, that's going to get me sidetracked. I got to keep moving. How do I be honorable? Dads, here we go. I don't preach topical messages a lot. But this is necessary on the occasion being Father's Day. This is going to seem very simplistic, but I think dads need it that way because we hate instructions. We'd rather a picture. I'll be honest with you. No matter what technical device it is, I look at the picture first. It looks like it goes together like this. And then if it don't work, when all else fails, I read the instructions. Would anybody else confess to that? What do, dads, to be honorable? Number one, love God. And when I say love God, I'm talking about love God the way God calls us to love Him. The Bible says in 1 John 3:18, it's great for a pointer, 1 John 3:18, it says, my little children, love not in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now listen, I'm a dad and I love to hear my kids and my wife say, Dad, I love you. I like to hear that. I do. And I believe our Heavenly Father likes to hear us say, I love you, Father. I have no doubt about that. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Hello. But there's even a deeper love than that. And that's behavior. If my wife says, honey, I love you, but one of my old boyfriends called me. Now, we've been married 23 years. So one of her old boyfriends is probably as ugly as sin by now. So I'm not worried about that. But if she said, honey, one of my old boyfriends called and he wants to take me out on a date. Really? No. I would question her love for me. And vice versa. Even though she said, I love you. Our behavior. Love God. You know, Abraham loved God. I mean, he went out not knowing where God was leading him. But he heard the voice of God, and God gave him a promise and said, "Obey me, son, and I got some blessings for you. Just pitch your tent where I tell you and stay there till I call you to move." And every time he pitched his tent and every time he erected an altar to God, had devotional time with God, God gave him another word of instruction. He was childless, and God kept telling him, "I'm going to give you a son, Abraham, and one day you're going to be the father of many nations, and your seed will be like the stars of the sky or the sands of the seashore." For 25 years, he went childless. He and his wife tried to do it their own way. That didn't pan out too well. We got the Arabian nation, all the big skirmish in the Middle East because of that wrong decision. God forgave them. They moved on. And finally, they just stayed faithful. Had a son, Isaac. I like what it says about Abraham in Genesis 18:19. I'm not going to turn there, but God says something like this to Abe. God is getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And they go pay a visit, these three angelic creatures, and some people believe them to be the Trinity or whatever, visiting Abraham. And they said this to each other, and it's interesting. I like the fact that God talked to himself. It makes me feel normal. God said to himself, "Should we tell Abraham what we're about to do?" And God said, "Yes, I think we should." See, we serve a Trinity. God is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. One God, not three, one. We're not Jehovah's Witness. We're not Mormons. We're not any other cult. We're Christian, Bible Christian. And we believe God is three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Because the Bible tells us that. And so, the Lord consults with himself and says, "No, we can tell Abraham, I know him, that he'll lead his family and his children to do all that I've commanded him to do." What a testimony! What a testimony God could give to himself about Abraham. "I know him. He'll lead his family to do what they're supposed to do. He'll lead his family to me." Could God say that about you, Dad? Could he say, "I know that person. They'll lead their family to church. They'll lead their family to the Word. They'll lead their family to the ways of Christian living." Could God say that? Abraham loved God. You know, at the beginning, David loved God. Bear with me now. I realize you need a little few more stories and you need humor. Some of you stayed up too late last night. But I want you to bear with me here. In the beginning, David had a genuine, authentic love for God. And he did at the very end. We know David. We think of the giant. We also think of the horrible adultery. But before the wickedness took place in his life, David was seen by his wife dancing before the Lord, showing devotion to the Lord, enthusiasm to the Lord. And it embarrassed his ungodly wife. Hey, listen to me, dads. Love God regardless of what your kids or your wife thinks if they don't love God. You know what's scary? I'm going to tell you something. I know this to be fact. I've seen it. I've seen it amongst Christians I know. But I know men who are not living for God because their wives won't live for God. Hey, fellas, buck up and love God. Our first devotion, our first priority, our first love is the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And if anything, that's going to make you love your wife more. If anything, it's going to make you love your children more. And it's going to make you love them the right way. By the way, wives, you ought to love God too, even more than your husbands. But I'm talking to dads right now. I know cases where the wife doesn't want to go to church. The wife really doesn't care about living for the Lord. And a man who showed a heart for God no longer wants to. Inside, he's grieving and he's hurting. Only to find out eventually the marriage is going to get worse and worse until he personally decides to get himself on the rock. Love God. It's not always going to be popular. Hey, it's not always going to be popular in your home to love God. Because what is it to love God? It's to live in a way that pleases Him. When I love, hey, listen, your kids know who you love. And they know what you love. If you were to ask my kids outside of humans, what does their dad love? Well, you don't have to be so loud. I love to golf. I love to fish. Man, I can't do both all the time. And I can't golf anyways now, so. But I love the Lord. And I really believe a love for the Lord, if you can't do the other things, always compensates. Love God. I move on. Dads, love your wife. Your kids need to see your love for your wife. In Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Hey, dads, how did Christ love the church? Hey, who initiated the love first, the church or Jesus? Well, then we got the answer. You don't wait for your wife to show that she loves you. You better show you love her. It's interesting. There's a text in Colossians chapter 3, verse 21 that says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. That's strange. Be not bitter against them. Like your wife could make you bitter. Come on. Give me a break. It's not their fault. It's yours, bucko. I thought I'd get a few women to say, that's right. That's right. Usually get the ladies on your side, you can sail through the message. No, God is telling us there that there's going to be times and in your heart doesn't feel, there's no feeling there like you want to love, show love. Let me just say it like this, where you're angry and you don't want to show love. So what are you to do? Love your wife. Love involves forgiveness, forbearance, mercy. As Christ so loved the church. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't get bitter at the church? Even at the church of Laodicea, all seven of those churches in the book of Revelation, there were only a couple good ones. But He still had a message for every one of them. He still gave every one of them hope. He offered every one of them opportunity to repent and turn. He wanted to help them. He wanted to bless them. The fact is, their behavior would cause them to self-destruct. Listen, fellas, just love your wives. You're going to be with your wife a lot longer than your children. Here's a danger. Sometimes dads can get into this kick. And I could probably see it more with a dad who has sons than a dad who has daughters. I didn't have a problem with this. But sometimes dads who have sons will live their lives vicariously through their sons. I wasn't living my life vicariously through my daughters. I wanted them to enjoy life. I really did. I wanted them to be ladies. Now, I didn't know how to spend time with them except for do guy things. I really, Barbie was not my thing. So I'd say, let's play some catch, girls. You want to go fishing or walk or jog? That was my way of spending time with them. I did play with the dolls when they were little bitty, but we made it through that. When they started developing a nudist camp amongst the Barbies, I just thought, that's enough for me. I can't find G.I. Joe's clothes for the life of me, and Superman, where's his cape? I'm thinking, what is going on? Why are all the clothes gone? So, I said, honey, you got to take care of this. But sometimes fathers can get so wrapped up in their little boys being a football player, or NFL football player, or Major League Baseball player, and they can get so wrapped up sometimes in their child that they neglect their wife. Listen, you're going to be with your wife a lot longer than your children. The best thing you can do for your children is you love your wife. Love your wife. By the way, if you're divorced, don't be critical of your children's mother. Don't do it. You're going to hurt your relationship with your child. I grew up in a divorced home. I know what it is to go from one weekend to the other. I know that. I'm grateful for the most part they got along. But I've seen civil wars because of that. And I've seen children develop very horrible relationships with one parent or the other because of that. So, dads, how to be honorable. Love God, love your wife, and then train your children. Ephesians 6:4, train your children. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Like you're going to provoke your children to wrath. Honestly, I read that and I'm fully aware of how easy it is. Because I grew up in a family that loved to tease you when you were irritated. That's the best time to tease. Then you can really get a rile out of them. In my family, if they saw me upset, I had a big bullseye on my back. And they pick and pick and pick until you just threw a fit. And then And so, I had to be mindful that if my kids are already a little upset, it's probably not the best time to tease them. And I'm not saying I've been Mr. Consistent there. But provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture and admonition means this. Listen, they need instruction and they need boundaries. Hey, dads, listen. You want to win your children's heart. Follow the Bible precept. Now listen to this. I realize some of you are saying, my kids are out of the house. Well, those whose kids are still in the house need to hear this. So praise the Lord, they're hearing the Word of God. So anyways, you got to have boundaries and you got to have instruction. The instruction is to explain why there's boundaries. But until they can comprehend the boundaries, they have to have boundaries anyways. They may not understand the boundaries, but they need to have boundaries. It's a horrible illustration, but I've got a beagle who needs boundaries. He doesn't understand it, but he's lived almost 12 years because he's got boundaries. And when he's left those boundaries, he's almost paid the ultimate consequence a few times. I know, your kids aren't pets. I know that. But they need boundaries. There needs to be a time they need to be at home. There needs to be a time that you expect them to be at school or at work. There needs to be a time that things need to be done. There needs to be structure in the home. You're responsible for training your children. And the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let me tell you something. When they go to school this fall, I'm pretty sure that most of the schools around here are not going to give them a Christian perspective worldview. I'm pretty sure they're not going to mention anything about the Word of God when it comes to the worldview, geography, science, math, or history. Oh, no. Matter of fact, in many occasions, they're going to talk about things that are totally against the Word of God. So if your kids go to a public school, friend, you better reinforce the truth. Amen. Nurture and admonition. If they cross the line, they need to understand there's a consequence. Brother James wanted me to say this verse, but now I can't remember how the text goes. I just remember the phrase, spare the rod, spoil the child. I can't remember how the exact verse goes, but that is the biblical principle behind the text in Proverbs. Foolishness is bound in a child, not us adults. It's bound in a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Glory to God. I heard some amens on that one. You bring that up in some of your public schools, they'd all go haywire. Better call the police. Now listen, it works. Spankings. Now listen, I don't spank my teenage daughters. I think that's weird. I'm just going to tell you. I think it's weird. If you didn't get it taken care of when they were little, friend, don't think you're going to get it taken care of now. But I can withhold the car. I can withhold the wallet. Oh yeah, I still got some leverage. Matter of fact, my oldest daughter, I'm going to share this, Bree. It's just a great story. I got to share it. Now, she's a tough cookie. She could handle a whipping. She didn't like it, but she could handle it. I felt bad spanking her when she was little. Because if she was, and again, she was not really a rebel. With little, I was making her go to Sparky's, but she heard there was lice. Heard one of the kids had lice. And in her mind, she was going to get it if she stepped foot in there. I understand that view. She was fearful for her life of being infected by lice. I tried to assure her the lice is isolated. We got it. Now go to class. She didn't want to go. Not this night. I said, honey, you got to go. So I said, we're going to go to the back of this church and we're going to have a talk. And I thought the walk itself would create enough fear for her to say, okay, Dad, okay. We got to the back of the church where we had privacy. I said, honey, you got to go. I can't go, Dad, I can't go. Man, I said, I'm going to spank you if you don't. And I did. And I did. I can't go, I can't. And then I felt bad. I thought, I can't spank you anymore. I don't know what to do. I was hurting inside. I really was. It hurt me more than it hurt her. I can honestly say that. Then the Lord reminded me, G.I. Joe. Man, she loved G.I. Joe. I said, honey, I think it was G.I. Joe. I said, honey, I'm going to take G.I. Joe away.
No!
I found it, man. I found it. I found the point. Hey, dads, listen. You don't need to abuse your children. But you need to correct them when they cross the line. I mean, there needs to be a consequence for crossing the line. But wait a minute. We're not done. There's one more point here. I want you to get this. We need to train our children. But be sure to build relationships while enforcing the rules. You know, it's interesting. It says, provoke not your children. You know, some parents, it seems like they enjoy putting the heat to their child's backside. You will not help your child have a heart for you if you show great pleasure in giving them the belt. This is an old saying, and I've heard a number of preachers say this, but it's a great quote, and I believe it to be true. Rules without relationships build rebellion or breed rebellion. And the principle really is true. Man, your kids got to know you love them. They got to know you love them. You correct them. Hey, if you correct them, you know, you ought to make sure you spend some time praying with them afterward. Give them time to calm down and go and talk to them. Which leads me to my final point. Because dads, this is where it's easiest to err. Be honest with them. Don't be a hypocrite. Because your kids are going to see your faults. If you don't let them know you see them too, they're going to know the hypocrite you are. Even though you come to church, listen, at best, you're going to develop another hypocrite in your home. At worst, you're going to have a child who turns from God completely. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just telling you, listen, this is Father's Day. We're talking about the heart of the fathers. We're trying to I want to give you these principles concerning winning our fathers to our children to their fathers. We got to be honest, not hypocritical. I'll close with this text. Close with this text. In Zechariah chapter 1, Zechariah chapter 1, verse 4. What a horrible testimony. He says, "Be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they did not hear nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I command my servants the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, Like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us, according to our ways and according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us." Dad, you may have fouled up big time, but be honest about it. You got to be willing to look at your kids in the eye and say, "Listen, you saw me do this, or you heard me say that. I lost my temper here, and I want you to know I'm sorry." And mean it. And pray with them. I really believe that's one of the best ways to help your relationship with your kids. If I can have every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, may you bless the message. It's a little different than normal. But I pray that the dads in this room would take advice. I pray the moms in this room would take advice. I pray the children in this room would take advice from you. I'm not an entertainer, I know that. I'm a proclaimer of your word, and I pray that your people, Lord, would be attentive to your voice. With heads bowed.